The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. You know, it's been way too serious of a week now, so we need a dad joke. Dad joke of the day, another palate cleanser. And dad jokes of the day are sponsored, sponsored by Two Dogs Fabricating. Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. Now, I'm going to tell a great dad joke. This one was submitted by Linda. All right, by Linda. And I laughed, okay? But if you have a better one, just go to twodogsfab.com, and then you submit it, and then we'll get you in here, hopefully, all right? But they have an amazing blowout on four remaining Delco trailers. Check this out. 3 7x14 dump trailers, rather, and 1 7x20 equipment trailer. Marked down, way, way down. Really good deals. And stop by and check them out, okay? There we go. TwoDogsFab.com, Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. So here's the dad jokes, a little bit longer. Piece of String walks into a bar and says to the bartender, "Hey, bartender, give me a beer and a ham sandwich." Bartender says, "Get out of here. We don't serve String here." The String goes outside and rolls around in the dirt and scruffs up the top of his head really, really hard. And then he goes back into the bar and he says to the bartender, "Hey, bartender, give me a beer and a ham sandwich." Bartender says, "Aren't you the piece of string that was just in here?" "No," said the string. "I'm afraid not." Hey, I laughed. I hope you enjoyed that one. Dad joke of the day. Let me go to Holly Morton. Hello, Holly. How you doing this morning? How did things go? How did things go in Joe County at that candidates forum yesterday, huh?
Well, it was kind of, it was kind of interesting. Sarah Bristow, they're all the current city council is all very proud of themselves. They were kind of boasting about all the things that they feel like they've accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And we had asked everybody to really behave themselves. We said, please don't be calling people out, you know, and so forth. So people behave themselves really well, but the incredulous looks that were going around the room when they were bragging about how great they were doing was quite a bit.
Okay, I have to ask, were any additional signs stolen that night?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, no signs stolen. All right. So that was good. That was good. All right, glad to hear it.
But so a couple of things that were kind of interesting is that that Sarah Bristow and Vanessa Ogier, who are the president, you know, Ogier is the president, and of course Sarah's the mayor,
mm-hmm.
They just refused to answer some questions. You know, they were really simple questions. We asked these just say yes or no, and they just refused. They refused to answer on the basis that it didn't have anything to do with their job. And one of them was about ranked choice voting and open borders, things like that. Things that would be really easy to answer yes
yeah,
or no.
Yeah, of course. Open borders, is that really something that to be talking about in a Grants Pass mayoral race? Really?
Yeah, because it hugely affects who's coming into our community.
Yeah, I know. But you see, this is something, I think it's kind of a dumb question to be asking there. It's a state, you have a state sanctuary city law. State sanctuary city law, it's like asking an abortion question, you know, for your Grants Pass mayor thing, unless you're just trying to, get someone's political point of view. I don't know. I don't know if I would go there.
That's exactly what you try to do. I mean, when you have a forum, Bill, what you're trying to do is assess, is this the person that you want to have running your city or your county or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And all questions are on the table, even, you know, abortion questions or anything else.
Okay.
I don't see
all right.
Wouldn't ask that. This was a lightning round. Matt Morsa was our moderator. And what we did is we said one word answer, yes or no. And, one of the things that we were curious about is what percentage of the homeless do you feel are drug or alcohol addicted? And I mean, you could say, well, that, you know, that's not important, but it is important to citizens because they want to know, do our city council members understand what the real issues are? And most of us feel that one of the major issues is that many of the people who are homeless because they have drug or alcohol dependencies. And so we were asking those kinds of questions. We were asking if the city should enforce health mandates, things like that. It was just one word answers, bang, bang, bang. But then the drill down questions, we gave them actually six different questions. They could pick one of them and elaborate. And with that, we wanted them to speak on an issue so that we could tell if they had cohesive thought, if they could speak They had, I believe, 2 minutes or something to present it.
All right. Were there any Kamala Harris moments then? Okay, fine. He asked the question. Were there any Kamala Harris moments?
Kamala Harris, you mean vacuousness?
Yeah. Were there any vacuous there? How about Tim Walz? Maybe Tim Walz would be the better example. Okay. Any Tim Walz moments? Like,
no, you know, I thought people did well last night. I think some people came off a little snarky. I think maybe the mayor and Vanessa came off a little snarky. But I don't know. I don't think there was vacuousness. I think people had definite points of view. You could see some distinction between
All right. So nobody coming out and saying that they had, were making friends with, I'm friends with school shooters. No moments like that then, right?
No, nothing like that.
But okay.
The most fascinating aspect of the whole evening is that every one of them, of course, it was a Republican Party event, but every one of them came off as people that probably in the commissioner side that the Democrat Party could never vote for. That was really bizarre because they all had more right-wing viewpoints. So I thought that was going to be really strange when, yeah. When people start.
Yeah. Did Mark Seligman, was he there for that one? Just curious.
Well, no, because Seligman's running against Junkers, and we didn't have, it was just the commissioners and the city council.
Just
the
commissioners. Okay. It wasn't the other ones. Okay. Just curious. All right. Well,
so he was.
Well, I have no doubt that Matt would do a great job, though. No doubt about that. Matt does great.
He did. He's a good speaker. It was not an easy thing to do. And Jay Meredith, he's running for city council, and he comes across well, but he's also trying to, he's pretty much running the recall for John West. So, he's just taken some really odd positions. Probably it would have been better for him in his political career to stay out of the middle of that one, because I think many, many people feel that John West is just making the hard decisions to try to preserve the county.
Yeah, there are some realities that I think a lot of people are just, there are going to be some rice bowls broken. That's the way to look at this, Holly. I appreciate the report. Thank you for checking in and letting us know how that happened. Okay? All right. Thanks so much. It's shade before 8 o'clock at KMED, KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. Let me head over to line 1-2. Hello. Good morning. Who's this?
Not so crazy.
Hello, Gene?
Yeah, I was calling up for curiosity points that my grandfather's name was Booth. Bill Booth, and because he was a bootlegger, and that's how he got his last name, he was also 100% Sioux Indian.
Oh, yeah? Your relative, huh?
yeah, my mom. Huh. My mom's family.
No kidding. I bet you had some stories.
Well, I remember when I was a couple, 3 years old, kind of, and he used to set me on his lap, laugh, and give his beer.
Well, he practiced what he preached, or at least what he sold, if nothing else.
Right. It seemed natural to me.
All right. Glad to hear it. Thanks, Gene. Of course, now that would get you in trouble with Child Protective Services now? I think so. I think it would. We'll take one more call before news. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hey, this is Charlene.
Hey, Charlene. How are you?
Hi. Okay. Hey, I just got a couple things.
Sure.
One, the first is, hey, the guy that's perturbed about calling Trump the Don.
Yes.
His first wife used to call him the Donald.
And everybody was calling him the Donald forever. I know.
Yeah.
Back in the 1980s. But, I say that because essentially he's the godfather of the Republican Party right now.
Oh, right.
There's really no doubt about that. I mean, the rest of the party people, they're not running it. I don't think they are. Do you?
No, it's really changed.
Yeah.
But anyway. But I got to tell you about your other conversation about writing and reading in the schools and all that.
Thank you. Well, I'd love to have you weigh in on that.
By the time they get to college, they haven't learned that in high school or middle school. I don't think they're just learning proper essay writing or whatever. But I think, and reading really ties in with that. You're going to be a good writer if you're a good reader. So I just have to say, Oregon is 45th or 47th in the nation for reading scores. And we're just way behind and haven't improved like the rest of the nation after COVID.
Now, I don't want to be one of these people, Charlene, that just blames everything on technology. OK, I don't want to just say it's the cell phone's fault or whatever it is.
Well, okay, here's what I'm going to tell you. Yesterday, I was in the Eagle Point Library.
Okay.
And I had a meeting. I mean, I had an event at the community room, but then we toured the library. The children's department has been transformed to video games. So they've taken out a bookcase. They've made more room for computers. And there's a whole bank. And there's tons of kids in there, but they're all sitting on computers playing video games. And they changed the study room into a video cave. Kids can go in there and play big games on the wall. So it's not being reinforced even by our libraries. So that's just what I'm saying.
It's, boy, that's kind of – that's very disturbing.
Yes. And I don't think every library – not every library is doing that, but that was after I used to work in Eagle Point. After I left, this all happened. So it's just, you know, we're getting new kind of librarians in there. So – Yeah.
Well, we've had those conversations and concerns about what's been going on with the American Library Association and the amazing right. mission creep away from actually providing library services.
Hmm. So the now I forgot what I was going to say. Dang it. Okay. Well.
Now. So
anyway,
I
know. It used to be we used to be very dedicated to homeschoolers. They came in there, they did their testing and all that. There's no place for them anymore. There's no place for them to pick up books, lay out on tables. There's one little round white table. Hmm. So it's just their that particular, which is very sad, library has changed its.
Do you think the library's changed because the parents changed?
I think they want numbers. They want bodies in there because they, you know, they take body counts.
Oh.
So, yeah, they want to be relevant, get numbers. That's my opinion.
Let us cater then to non-readers.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the problem with libraries is that, you know, it requires that you be able to read, and we can't have that. So, you know, right.
This is what I was told. Well, this gets kids in the library, so they start using the library, but they're not coming out with books.
Well, yeah. If they're not coming out with books, then they'll just be the future bums that are going in for foot washing when they have no job or hope later in their life, okay?
I don't know. Yeah, there were a lot of good kids in there, and they came up because I was with a librarian from the school, and they all, like, come up and hug her. So maybe they're reading at school. I don't know. But, it was a statement to me.
Yeah, we don't need taxpayer funded video caves or video game caves.
Oh, and they have all the great video gaming chairs. So
yeah,
they got it good there.
Okay,
after school.
That makes me feel even better about paying for that that library. I think it's like $75 a year I'm paying. You know, for that, it makes money well spent.
Mm. Well, the kids are safe though. They come there and they're safe.
Well, that's all that matters. Safety.
Yeah. That's
yes.
Right.
In fact, that's what our founding fathers said. You know, patriots, yeah. To the safe spaces we go. The British are coming. Thank you,
yeah.
Charlene.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, man. It's 6 minutes after 8. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
This is Judy Ahrens.
Hello, Judy.
Good morning. Charlene's call, and I'm going to have to squeeze in some time to check out the libraries here in the library here in Grants Pass. But you know, she's right. You know, they're only teaching sex education, so the kids can't learn how to read. We are on the bottom of the heap, you know, nationally and everything. They don't want to teach reading; they want to teach about 6 years old and what, you know, all the above on sex education or health education, whatever. So that's a real problem. And I have to laugh. I got a big laugh out of the Courier recently because they were holding up signs regarding the library at the 7th School District. Now, remember, the 7th School District is censored. You cannot go down there to the and talk about a subject, you know, about bathrooms or what's going on. Only what's on the agenda, and they make sure you stick to the agenda.
Right.
So it's worthless to go there. But I had to laugh because the Courier, they had people standing up having silent time, showing their signs on both sides of the library where we want the reading material, where we don't want their reading material. But it did say they had to do it silently, you know, no public speaking at the meeting. So it was a plug for my side that I've been, fighting for a long time. Bob,
that you should be able to bring up topics that are not on the agenda necessarily. Is that a Robert's rule of orders kind of thing, or some other? Is there just policy that the board has?
When I get a time, I've been kind of busy on other projects, but got to check number one on your policy. and see if they'll even get back with me. I think I one time did ask them back in February, and I got silence from them. So I'm going to attempt it again, because the president, Marcy, whatever, they can go and say, let's put it on the agenda. Let's say this is what we're going to do, and we're going to have da-da-da meetings to be open. But they just haven't done that yet, Bill.
Oh, okay. Maybe what I got to do is get some of those delicious muffins and cookies that you make and just kill them with kindness, okay? And see if they'll change the policy. All right. Thanks, Judy. We're going to talk about an organization fulfilling a need here in Southern Oregon that I never heard of until a few days ago when Jessica Hawkins ended up just dropping by. And I think there's something going on here. I mean, good. Something good going on here, all right? And Jessica Hawkins joins me. She's the outreach coordinator for MEC Disabilities. Now, I'm going to take this off of your business card.
Sure.
Okay? All right? And it's MEC Disabilities, Motivate, Elevate, and Celebrate. And MEC Disabilities. And what you do is that you run... It's not called, what is it called? This is called
the sensory space.
The sensory space. Now, here it is. I've been around doing talk radio for lots of years here. I have never heard about the sensory space here in Southern Oregon. And you have this in Grants Pass.
Yes.
You're hoping to get this expanded to Jackson County.
That's correct.
And first off, tell us about MEC. And
okay.
Now, are you the coordinator and the founder, or
no,
are you just
I am
a
not.
Customer of it?
Well, I am the outreach coordinator. I came on board about a year ago. MEC was founded by Nikki Sanger in 2021, and it was due to a lack of resources and equipment for children who experienced disabilities during COVID. We're a nationwide, actually, 501c3 nonprofit, which
really
makes us eligible. We're funded by grants and donations. Any donations that we receive are tax deductible, which is great. Some people like to give money to people like us.
Hey, you got to get the sales job out there right away.
Right?
Okay?
Well,
Good job. People like us instead
of giving it to Uncle Sam.
Okay. Now, I get this, though. So what kind of disabilities are you speaking of? Because you were telling me that your son is on the spectrum, autistic.
Yeah, my son is autistic and non-speaking. Our founder's daughter, Evelyn, has cerebral palsy. And while it affects her physically, it does not affect her cognitively.
Right.
And by having this sensory space, it allows children who experience physical disabilities, cognitive disabilities, it gives them a place to just be themselves. And what happens is some of the children, like my son, who's non-speaking, doesn't typically have a lot of friends. And so what this does is it allows children an opportunity to build friends. And some children with autism don't really interact a lot with other people. And so what this does is this allows them to just become playful by nature and interact with other children in a way they wouldn't have the opportunity to. And then it ends up building a sense of community for parents, because when you go through the struggle of raising a child with a disability, it can be very lonely.
Oh,
and it's very
I'm sure.
nice to be able to have someone else who gets it. Like if your child is screaming because they're upset, nobody's going to criticize you and say that you're a bad parent. They're going to say, oh, you know, my child also does this. And it just is a huge weight off your shoulders.
That's interesting. I kind of wonder sometimes when you do see. Now, I mean, children have always acted out. That,
mm-hmm.
There's something. Of course, you know, we were threatened with death for acting out back when I was a kid.
Yep.
And so we figured that out pretty quickly. Okay, we'll be killed if we do this, so we don't.
Yeah.
But when you see a lot of acting out, is some of the acting out that we're seeing in public sometimes just due to autism and various other
Sensory overwhelm. The lights could be too bright. It could be the sounds. It could be the amount of people. There is overstimulation that affects every child with autism is different. So when you meet one, everybody has their own individuality.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very much the same with autism. Some children enjoy music. Some children are overwhelmed by sound. Some children are crave touch, and others are overwhelmed by touch. So it's very specific to that individual child.
Boy, that's really interesting. And I guess it's very difficult to deal with sometimes, too.
Yes.
And so the sensory space is celebrating its one-year anniversary tomorrow.
Yes, that is correct,
so
in Grants Pass.
And so this is at 580 Southwest 6th Street, mm-hmm. Suite C in Grants Pass.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to visit the sensory space, what would I find? I'm walking through the door.
Jessica, take me through to
what this is going, because obviously you're fulfilling a need here.
Yes. We're going to find a friendly face. We're going to request that you sign in and review our liability waiver, which means that you have to make sure that you attend your child while they're inside of our facility.
So you don't just drop your kid off at the sensory
space. No, the child
space.
Off. No.
Okay. All right.
I mean, it would be nice. Trust me. I'm sure I've, you know. But we have 7 different rooms. Our front room has an indoor trampoline, which is great for input for children. Some of them crave like heavy movement. A lot of excessive movement is very helpful for some of these children. We do have a room that is a calming room that has a bubble tube, like the lights are kind of soothing to some children, that has lower light in it. Mm-hmm. It also has a crash pad, which is really cool for people who, for children who are wheelchair bound, sometimes they don't get the opportunity to stretch. And so that crash pad gives them the ability to kind of stretch out, or it can be for a child who needs to crash into something, which is also fun. And then across the hall, we have another active room that has a second indoor trampoline. That one's for people who need to, a little bit more space that may be taller. Some little build your own obstacle course things in there. The next room, we have a gigantic ball pit. That one also has a crash pad in it. Like, it's really a fun space. We have a play kitchen as well. And then you would go into a large common area where we've actually hosted birthday parties. My son has never had a children's birthday party before. And when he turned 10, we rented that facility. And we had kids that were autistic. Some children had cognitive disabilities. Some had physical disabilities. And then there were neurotypical children. Like, it's a place for everyone to come together and just get the essence of who they are as children. And it's really rewarding.
How many people do you have usually visiting this? I'm wondering, you know, is, I don't want to put it as, I mean, this sounds a little crass. Okay, I'm just going to say it. Is business good? Let me put it that way.
Oh, well, of course, we have to have a certain amount of people to justify the grants that we've received.
Yeah.
So, again, we're free to the public. We're open 5 days a week.
Oh, you're free?
Free to the public. Oh. This is a free service.
Okay.
So we are open daily from 3 to 6, and we do have different community outreach events. So on a typical day, it depends on the family. Sometimes we'll have like 5 or 6 families in there. It does get a little bit active. If there are families that need, that have children with more severe needs, they can always call and schedule, and we can try to accommodate them. We've had adults that are cognitively impaired, and they have, like, they're 34 years of age, non-speaking. They come in, and their parents don't get a chance to take them out in public just because of their age and their disability. It's difficult. There's not really space for them. So we're creating space in the community for people who wouldn't otherwise have it.
So this is even for disabled adults in some cases?
It could be in some cases.
In some cases. Yeah, on a case-by-case.
Case-by-case situation if they need to come in sooner. We've hosted field trips as well from the other. We've actually had some from Medford as well.
Mm-hmm.
Field trips from Medford, field trips from Grants Pass. And those are during the day also.
Kind of curious. What is the level? Is the level of disability rising? I don't know if you can speak to this or not. I know you're an outreach coordinator and you're trying to get the, you know, grants and all this kind of stuff. And you, your son, your own son, of course, is you know, a big part of this. You know, the sensory space. But is it growing? Is the need growing? I'm just kind of curious about this because I'm wondering if anyone has tried to look into what might be driving some of this.
The need has always existed. It's just that it is a lot more current. Like I shared earlier, in the state of Oregon, for example, the special education community is almost to a quarter of the population of students here in Oregon. And we're only getting about an eighth of the special education budget. Now, there's some things that, like, again, it's difficult to track. We started this place because there is such a need with younger children. We do want to provide activities for teens and young adults as well. We do have a room that has a full-length massage chair and some vibrating beanbag chairs and some books for older students and people. So we serve from birth. This facility is from birth up to age 18.
Okay.
And when we have children with disabilities, we don't say their friends and family members can't come in.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure everyone comes in.
How many individual clients? I'll just use like the generic nonprofit way of looking at this thing. How many clients do you think end up taking part in this right now?
It depends. I would say around maybe 100 or so a week. But on larger events, like we hosted the first we did Evelyn's Hunt, which was our founder's daughter, Evelyn's birthday party. We did the first inclusive Easter egg hunt in Southern Oregon, and that had 400 attendees. That's a huge community outreach. We did a sensory-friendly Santa event, and we had 30 time slots.
What is that? Boy, you know, see, I know a lot of people are probably hearing this and going, a sensory-friendly Santa? I mean,
yeah.
So what would a sensory-friendly Santa be? Would it be Santa dressed in bubble wrap? Or,
no.
I mean, I know you may think I'm being silly, but,
no,
you know.
It's for people who really don't understand. So I'm sure that many parents have had the experience of having to wait in the line at the mall for Santa. So what we do is for children who are not capable of standing in that line or staying in place or anything like that, we book 30 times with that last past year. We booked 30 time slots, and parents can have that time slot. They can come straight in the door, meet Santa, and then they have the opportunity to explore our facility if they would like to. We booked all 30 time slots, and there was one child who was not able to attend, and we did a Zoom call with Santa. Some of these children and young adults are not able to leave their home for a variety of reasons.
Boy, you're meeting people where they are,
I guess.
Yes,
absolutely. So we had like 150 people at that event, and we've done, we did a free swim event every Friday at the Caveman Pool in Grants Pass. And right now our base is in Grants Pass, but we would love to expand it to Jackson County as well. Like that's one of Jackson County has its own set of needs. The population is, you know, expanding here as well.
But you have a lot of people from Jackson County that go to Grants Pass
now. Yes, we've had people
because you're
from
the only
White
one.
City.
You're the only one doing this, right?
Yes. That's free to the community. Absolutely. And we have a lot more space than a lot of places. And we offer parents assistance with 504s and IEPs, which is an individualized education plan, which is something that anyone who has a kid with special needs knows. This is basically their plan. It gets reevaluated every year. And sometimes it's hard for parents. It's intimidating. I've helped with insurance, getting equipment covered, because I've personally journeyed with that with my own child. So I help them be able to get things that they need, prescriptions. They get prescriptions from the doctor, and these things can be covered, such as a speech device that helps my son who doesn't talk. He's able to use this to say, I want to go to the bathroom. I want this. And so those things are most oftentimes covered by insurance, but parents aren't aware that they exist. I've also helped,
I didn't know they existed.
And then there are companies that help that disability services in the community can refer these children to have caretakers. They're eligible in the state of Oregon, some of them, to have someone come in and help them.
I wanted to ask you about that because I don't want you to necessarily talk about your friend. By the way, I'm speaking with Jessica Hawkins. She's the outreach coordinator for MEC Disabilities. And what they're doing is tomorrow celebrating the one-year anniversary of the sensory space. It's on Southwest 6th Street in Grants Pass, a free space for the kids. And naturally, you're going to be looking for donations and things like that. But tomorrow, is it kind of an open house sort of deal?
It is an open house. It's a fundraiser. We have the community's been very generous with us, including some businesses in Medford. And we have items that can be purchased for raffle. One of the really cool things is we have a dunk tank, and I've been able to secure some of the senior varsity football players from the Grants Pass High School team. And they volunteer generously to volunteer their time to be able to be dunked. And so tickets can be purchased for that.
All right. That's noon to four tomorrow is when this is going on, by the way, too. But I wanted to take it back here. You were talking about all these things available to help these children with these disabilities, whether it's autism, whether it's a physical disability, whether it's a mental disability.
We can provide equipment as well. That's one of the things we can do.
What I was asking with, what is out there for the parents? I was curious.
I just
wonder that you have to have, and maybe even you yourself can speak to this, there have to be times that
it's overwhelming.
That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if most of us just had children in and everything.
Most parents need support. Almost all of them.
Yeah, I know. Even regular. Yeah. I don't want to say regular. I'm not saying that you're not regular, but you know what I'm getting.
Neurotypical is the new phrase. Neurotypical.
Neurotypical. There we go. I knew there had to be some proper way of saying this. Okay.
Yeah.
But it has to drive the parents nuts sometimes.
Well, that's what's really cool about our space is until you meet someone else, you don't really know what their needs are. And as someone who's walked this life for the past 7 years, my experience is lended towards that. Nikki's experience is lended towards physical disabilities. Yeah. And so together, we come together and we have offered parent support groups. We've done Mother's Day events where moms can come together and do things. We have parent training classes for different... A lot of, like you were saying, in the earlier stages of parenthood, we were
Yeah, where, okay.
Behaviors weren't tolerated, and now there's a whole new way of parenting. So there's parenting courses that we offer as well, you know.
Yeah, I know, but my, I was talking about when I was growing up, though, these were neurotypical.
Yes.
Neurotypical families, you know. And it's just like,
the
you know.
The fear of God.
You know, especially with my little brother. Shut up, Mikey. Sit down. You know, that kind of thing. But
yeah, that's not how things are now, of course.
I know, I get that. But so this is, like I said, I didn't know this service was available. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you're trying to expand into Jackson County. Something tells me that you would be just as in demand in Jackson County,
if not more so. Yeah.
All right. And how can people help if this is something that strikes their passion? It's obvious that you were very passionate about this. You know, you can't fake this.
No, I absolutely love seeing what happens, this entire process. I love, like, when a parent comes in, you could tell that their stress level is high. They don't know how their child is going
to
react.
They're ready to pop, okay?
Yeah, they don't know how their child's going to react. And all of a sudden, you can just see, like, their shoulders dropping. And then you see this child who doesn't behave this way at home. It's like they just blossom right in front of your eyes. And it's absolutely amazing. It just lights me up on the inside. I love seeing it. Like, I have goosebumps. It just is incredible to see.
That's your reward, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man. So
you get a dopamine hit from the parents being helped out. Huh?
Absolutely, because I know what it's like. When I was in my darkest days, when going through stuff with my son, he had some really rough behaviors. He wasn't potty trained until he was 8, so there's that whole thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
you know,
so
just that alone for most parents would be,
yeah, and then
I'm done,
you have
right?
a child who's not speaking. How do you determine what it is that they need?
How do you communicate?
Yeah,
right.
How do you communicate? So what's really amazing is just seeing all these things come together, and it's cathartic to be able to help someone else, like to shine a light at the end of the tunnel and sit with them in that space and just say, I have been where you are. I didn't think I could make it to where I am, and here we are. Let me help you. How may I help you? What do you need? Even if it's just someone to sit and listen, somebody that gets it. So here in Jackson County, we do have a building that we would love to get. Our funding has been tied up because of a variety of reasons.
Yeah, let's face it. Okay, I'll just say it because she probably can't, but it's just things are always tied up in election years and politics and stuff like that. And you know, after the elections, things tend to break loose or bust loose a little bit. That's just the way. You know, I've even talked to other people who say nothing big happens in an election year.
Yep.
That's just the way it goes.
We're Learning As We Go as a nonprofit. We've been established for 3 years, and then certain things are going to come along. But we would love to be in Jackson County sooner rather than later. We have an amazing building that we would love to get.
Sorry, you already had this scoped out.
We have it scoped out. Okay. There's plenty of parking. There's room for a sensory gym. It's very close to the airport. There's public transportation. All of the things that we need to consider to be an asset and a benefit to Jackson County are at this building. So it's a great opportunity. We're seeking private funding and different things like that. So
angel investor, maybe.
Angel investor, possibly. Yeah, the seller has presented us with an amazing opportunity, which I can't go into all the details for, but we would love to be able to. We have the ability, the grants and everything for the equipment to go live with this. It's just, again, the money for the physical location.
Is this something that has to be run in the nonprofit model, so to speak?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We've received grants from the Rose Douglas Foundation, the Cal Creek Umpqua tribe.
But I'm saying you probably couldn't charge enough, though, to sell tickets for something like this. You know what I'm getting at?
I mean, I wouldn't feel ethically right about charging money for this facility. I mean, a lot of families that have children with disabilities are very near poverty level. You have parents who have quit, some of them, a six-figure job just to care for their children.
That's true.
That's not fair to charge them. They're not sure whether their child can attend, they can't attend. It gets into a lot of, we want to be an asset and a benefit to the community.
There are a lot of moving parts to this. But once again, Jessica Hawkins is the outreach coordinator. It's MEC Disabilities, but they're known here in Southern Oregon for the sensory space. Tomorrow is the 1 year anniversary of this. And if you know someone that could actually use this service, as some children, grandchildren, that may be able to take part in this. Sensory Space is at 580 Southwest 6th Street, Suite C in Grants Pass. Noon to 4 is the first anniversary, kind of all sorts of things going on, including a fundraiser. There's another fundraiser you're doing right now for the Thankful Bottle and Can Drive. So you actually take people's cans and bottles and turn those in.
Absolutely, right? We have Bottle Drop. There's a period of the year where they allow nonprofits to actually, they give a little bit higher of a bonus. And so we're open to collecting cans and bottles from Jackson and Josephine County.
Yeah, just drop them off at the sensory space.
You can drop them off, or I could schedule to try to come over here and pick them up. You can find us online at thesensoryspace.org or also mecdisabilities.org. The sensory space is easier to remember. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram. We have a listing of all of our public events. We will be doing the Sensory Santa event as well again this year. We're doing a Veterans Day event as well to honor our veterans. There's so many here in Southern Oregon, and we just want to make sure that we're supporting them as well. That event is on Veterans Day. So if you felt the need to, you could drive over to Grants Pass and drop off the bottles and cans. They do not need to be in the bottle drop bags.
Picture, don't have to be the green ones.
They
okay.
don't have to be in the green ones. They can be in whatever containers. We just ask that they're clean without, you know, additives like cigarette butts and things like that in them and empty.
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
That's reasonable.
Yeah.
All right. Jessica, thank you for coming in here and explaining and telling me something I knew nothing about. I wasn't even aware of this. There are times that I've wondered, gee, how do parents with these non-neurotypical children, how do they operate? How do they get through the day?
Yeah. I mean, it is difficult. But
you look like you're ready to break up a little bit.
Nah, it's the one thing you focus on is the glimmer,
yeah.
right? The glimmer is something that you weren't expecting your child to do. Mm-hmm. And so those little moments can help fuel you throughout the day. Some parents don't get those. And that's exactly why we're in existence, to be able to just say, hey, I get it. I understand.
Yeah. I appreciate your passion with this because you're walking this. Mm-hmm. You're living this life. And how is your son doing overall?
He's doing incredible with his speech device. I was driving the other day and he says, "Need mom, listen, I want steak." And he's each of these are individual buttons. And he's telling me that he wants steak. I never thought that my child would be able to do this. And so what it does is it just gives hope. Your child might not be doing something right now, but that not yet. There is that potential in the future. You don't want to give anyone a false sense of hope, but it is possible when you see and hear other people's stories, and it brings you out of isolation. It makes you feel less alone.
Jessica, I appreciate you coming in. Thank you so much, and we'll do the best, and I'll put your information up on my show blog on KMED.com.
That's much appreciated.
And if anybody has any questions, or if you're running around and you forgot about it, hey, you were talking to that woman about the sensory space, whatever, just email me, bill@billmeyershow.com, and I'll send you all the information that I do have, okay? Best of luck on your event tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
All right. It is 8:38 on KMED and KBXG.
Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley, owner at American Rancher Garage. I just want to say a huge thank you to our friends and neighbors who voted to make us 2024 Gold Medal winners for Best of Southern Oregon. Without loyal customers like you who recognize our commitment to the highest standard of service, we're just another place to get an oil change. So thank you for your continued support. And thanks again for choosing American Rancher Garage. Call 541-499-6673 to schedule an appointment with us today. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
We're thrilled to announce we're back with our Veterans Metal Roof Giveaway. After the joy of giving away our first roof, we're honoring veterans with a free custom metal roof. One deserving veteran will win this amazing gift absolutely free. Don't delay, enter now. The contest ends November 5th. Winner will be chosen on Veterans Day. Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., where quality and community come together. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com for entries, details, and rules.
Representative Kim Wallen is a strong advocate for Medford in our state capital. She knows that new laws work best when many perspectives are sincerely considered and all potential consequences are carefully navigated. She is dedicated to working with people of all viewpoints who are interested in finding the best solutions for the problems facing Medford. Kim was a diligent advocate for recriminalizing drug possession after the failed experiment of Measure 110. The new law is an important first step, but it will need additional language and funding before we will truly see results. Kim has the experience to address ongoing problems and restore health and safety in our neighborhoods.
I'm Kim Wallen, and I would be honored to continue serving as your state representative.
For a safer Medford, vote for Kim Wallen. Visit electkimwallen.com. Paid for by Friends of Kim Wallen.
We're here with Susan, who had her well drilled by Clouser Drilling. Susan, what made you choose Clouser?
I checked around town, asked friends of mine who they had used, and Clouser came up every time, A number one, from realtors to actual residences.
And what stood out to you?
Everything, frankly. From when they first arrived, locating the water, walking the property, the site selection. They were very methodical, very careful. I was impressed with their entire approach.
Visit ClouserDrilling.com.
The Rowe Gardener is sponsored by Grange Co-op.
A lawn that's poorly installed will probably last at the most between 10 and 15 years. You just wish that you hadn't wasted all your work and all your money. The difference to having a good lawn, one that can be good for 40 to even 60 years with proper preparation, proper planting techniques, and proper after-planting care.
Talk to the Rowe Gardener Saturdays 10 to noon. Hear the Sunday morning encore at 9 on KMED.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Call Bill now, 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
And this portion of the program is sponsored by Valley View Nursery. Valley View Nursery is the only nursery in Southern Oregon with online pricing. You go to valleyviewnursery.com, and they're closer than you think. Ah, I see that Francine did call back. Francine, I accidentally hit the wrong button, and I hung up on you instead of putting you on hold, but I'm glad she called back. There we go. Tom's in Gold Hill, though. Tom, you were probably listening to that that conversation I was having with the lady from the sensory space with some interest about dealing with cognitive disabilities and various issues. You have an interesting story. Go ahead, please.
I've been listening for about the past 45 minutes on a couple of different things. Yeah, I was born in 1961, last of the baby boomers, and I had that identified as having cognitive disability with reading. And I got some special education, some time, and they put me on these learning machines. You know, we're talking about, an earlier interview was talking about, you know, everything turning into video and electronics.
Right.
Well, these learning machines were, they were manual. They were used a film stock and projection lamps, and, kind of like that, what do you call it, eye test, where you lean into it and it's, you lean into it, and the thing rotates and changes the reading speed, and then you have a questions about cognitive behavior, cognitive what you remembered.
Well, yeah, what kind of conclusion would you draw? Did it actually help you back at that time?
Oh, yes. There are several different machines to help people with different reading, with different problems there. They're definitely all manual machines of the time, 60s, late early 70s. And I found a lot of help in it. I remember seeing my test scores, my cognitive scores rise after a few months using these different machines, and other people had other issues. But they were machines of the time and definitely manual. And they worked really well. They worked after a fashion. I think they worked really well for me.
Do you have a concern with the machine, if you want to call it that, being used now, or do you just see it as yet another tool that would be appropriate and don't be anti-tech, or where are you coming from on that?
Well, it's easy to jump on that bandwagon and say, yeah, the teachers are not doing their job, and I have no input to that. I haven't observed that. But what I have observed is being a part of the armed forces, going up to Fort Lewis, they have what they call the anti-armor theater. And it's all kind of video game-like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy to just break it down to, it's just a video game. But there's several different machines handling different types of weapon systems up there. And you need to have somebody there enforcing the process of shooting and tracking and understanding what your capability or weapon is, you know, a fire, no fire situation. And yes, it's all very video game like. Some are more video game than others, but if you enforce the process, you can take them. It's a good learning tool.
Are we in danger of perhaps so much tech that we have no ability to pay attention and focus on anything, any particular task for a long term? That's been a concern I've had. I'm not the only one that has ever felt this way, but I don't know.
Yeah, I would think I would have some concerns over that too, but without being observant of it, I do know the, all I know is the new, you know, war gaming machines they had there at Fort Lewis, they, in the anti-armor theater, unless you take and sit there and work through your standard operating procedures as far as radio calls and back and forth and role playing and understanding how the weapons work and working all the little different things to get the process down. You know, you're shooting artillery, you want to make sure everybody's on the same piece of music and you're, you know, you're calling for something 15 miles away.
Yeah. You want to make sure the shell, you want to make sure the shell falls where it is supposed to fall. That is for sure. Hey, thanks for sharing, you know, an earlier tech solution to perceive problems about that. And thank you very much, Tom. Tom from Gold Hill. 770-5633. If you are on hold, I promise I will get right back to you, even if I have to extend into Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. We're going to make this happen here. 770-5633.
I'm Travis Snyder, managing partner at Precision Electric. In Jackson County, we continue to have a housing crisis, just not enough units being built for our ever-changing and ever-growing community. Randy has the hands-on experience to be able to reach out to development community, work with others, and including Salem, to make sure we get policies in place that help all of us grow. I support Randy Sparacino for Jackson County Commissioner.
Vote Randy Sparacino for Jackson County Commissioner. Paid for by Sparacino for Oregon. ID 20676.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
One of each K4 VIN 014548 MSRP 24145 Telluride VIN 563162 MSRP 42935872 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee, trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 10/31/24.
It's time to trade in and take off in a new Kia at Kia Medford. Trade in your old vehicle for cash, then shop our huge selection of brand new Kias. Take off in the all-new 2025 Kia K4 LXS, just $169 a month lease, or a new 2024 Kia Telluride S all-wheel drive, only $239 a month lease. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then join us in the fight against breast cancer with $100 of every sale going to Access, a charity right here in Medford. Trade in and take off at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Saudis drop the petrol, times are changing fast. Russia, China, BRICS, they're shaking off the past. Down in Ashland Town, there's a place to find your trust. J. Austin and Company's where you gotta put your bucks. Dollar ain't as strong, but the silver's gleaming bright. Gotta hedge your bets, make sure you sleep at night. Winding through the hills to that little country store, J. Austin and Company will help you keep some more. Get your gold and silver, stash it while you can. Future's feeling shaky, better take a stand. J. Austin and Company, for your silver and your gold.
You're hearing the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED.
Just got a Diner 62 breakfast delivered to me. Oh my gosh, grilled turkey. I love turkey, and I love it grilled. So it should be pretty good. I'll tell you how that goes next time we have a Diner 62 quiz coming in for sure. It's 11 before 9, some open phone time, 770-563-3770 KMED. By the way, before we get to the phones, and I will do this in just a second, a number I want you to remember besides my number here at the station is 261-5444, 261-5444, because if you are getting just hosed with insurance rates just exploding, and I know that they're talking happy talk about, ooh, look at the moderating inflation. Services, energy, food, no, not so much, all right? And you have to have the insurance, sometimes just to keep your property, right? Talk to Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance. Sky Park Insurance is an independent insurance agency, and Steve has been running this place for a long time, saving me a lot of money, saving a lot of other people money. But you have to give them the chance for the quote. Otherwise, you'll never know if he can save you money or not. You may have the best deal in spite of the fact you think you're getting hosed. All right. And he'll tell you, though. He says, yeah, it's the best deal that you can come up with. Yeah, you're still getting hosed. I get it. But they're good people there. And Lynn Barton is taking care of Medicare insurance premiums and plans and things like that. You can also call Sky Park, 261-5444, 261-5444, or skyparkins.com. You can find out more.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
And like I had mentioned, we have open phones for the final few minutes. By the way, I am going to be off Monday, Tuesday. It's my anniversary weekend, and Linda and I are going to go out and be all lovey-dovey, stuff like that. And we go to the phones. Hello, line two. Who's this? Welcome.
Hi, Bill. This is Francine.
Hi, Francine. How are you?
I'm good. Well, let me start up by wishing you guys a really wonderful anniversary.
Thank you. It's already been a wonderful anniversary. The 8th was actually the anniversary, but this weekend we're going to go celebrate.
Okay. So. Well, good. Have a wonderful time then.
Thanks.
And, okay, what your last guest, I'm sorry, the woman with the... she was talking about the children with special needs.
Yes, indeed. And by the way, it's, the nonprofit is MEC Disabilities, but the place that they're running is the Sensory Space on Southwest 6th Street in Grants Pass. They want to also expand it into Medford there in Jackson County. Such demand for the places for these kids right now.
Yeah. Well, I was very moved by, you know, and everything, and I just had this thought, and I haven't had time to actually organize it, the idea here, but I have a bunch of bottles, you know, that I, you know, nice clean water bottles. I'm a bubble water addict, you know. So and to just drive, you know, $5 or something worth of bottles up to Grants Pass is absurd. So I was wondering if other people have things like, you know, bottles and cans that they'd like to put together, and maybe As a group, we can compile them and figure out a way to get them up to her. And so maybe if people are interested in that, they can get hold of me through you because.
Okay, because I'll tell you what, I have a green bag. I was going to drop it off at you know, bottle drop, and so I'll give you my green bag if you're going to take it up there. That'd be great. Okay.
Well, yeah, I'd like to figure something out with some other people, not just all on me, because, you know, I'm kind of, you know, old and decrepit semi. But
I was gonna say grumpy, but I'm not.
No, I'm too giggly to be grumpy.
I'm just teasing you. I'm fine. I'll tell you what, though, if you'd like to donate some bottles and cans for this deal, of course, put them in bags, though. Make it easy. Send me an email, folks, Bill at BillMeyerShow.com, and I will put you in touch with Francine, and then she can grump at you and giggle. Okay. How about that? Would that be all right? Would that be okay?
That sounds great, Bill.
That's the way to do it. Thank you, Francine. 770-5633. And line four is here. Hello, line four. Who's this?
Hi, Bill. It's Lucretia.
Hi, Lucretia. What's on your mind today?
Hi. Just, you know, I don't like to be called stupid, and I don't want to call anybody stupid. But, you know, I first woke up to the geoengineering in 1996. And, you know, I called you about that same time, I think it was 2005, how the trees were dying. No, that was 2015. I said, God, the trees are dying. Anyway, back in 2006, Cliff Cornicom was already well aware there are 6 reasons they're geoengineering our skies. And definitely the aluminum, Dr. Exley has now proved that it's what's killing the trees and the whales and all that. And as far as just affecting the trees, but we know that LBJ back in 1958, I can play it for you. He said, whoever controls the weather controls the world. We know our food supply is being destroyed by the floods, the droughts, the fires, the hurricanes, the tornadoes. Whoever controls the food definitely controls the people, okay, and the water. You know, that's definitely going way down since all this geoengineering happened. But then we have the patents, we have, you know, I called up once back in the 1800s. They knew whenever there was bombing, it would rain afterwards.
Okay, well, all I would say is that, okay, well, after bombing, it'll rain because you have particulates in the sky, and then condensate will condense around the particles. Okay, all I'm going to say now here, now, you're going to say all this, Lucretia. How can I help you today?
Well, I just want to say that, you know, to say it's stupid to think they can control the weather when there's all these patents, there's all these people we know.
Patents are ideas. There are also patents for perpetual motion machines, Lucretia.
Well, listen, we don't need all these neck rads out in the ocean and these harp facilities because they're just like harp. and they literally are how they're controlling the storms. I see straight lines. The weather used to always come in from the west coast and go across the east. Now it would come right in, and it would take a 90-degree turn up or down the coast.
Okay, I will repeat to you. Let's say that everything that you are saying is true. Now what?
Stupid.
No, I'm not calling you stupid. I'm asking you, let's say everything that you're saying is true. Now okay. What?
Well, obviously, there are states that are blocking the geoengineering, whether it's helping or not. I mean, we've got to get the people aware that this is...
No, okay. No, you're not answering my question. You're not answering my question. What is the action?
The people to start protesting in force.
Okay, that's fine. And then that's where you need, but you also need to take your evidence and you need to take it to your government officials. You have to take your evidence, not someone taking a picture, not someone publishing a book, not LBJ testifying in 1962 or whatever it is. You know, that's all I'm saying, because otherwise all you're doing is spinning a wheel here. If you have actionable evidence and intelligence, then you have to operate from that point of view. But getting me to buy into everything that you are into is not going to be part of the plan. That's all I'm saying, okay? And I'm not calling you stupid, but I can disagree with you. And I appreciate on some of this. I appreciate your call. Thanks.
If you don't plan on cooking tonight, plan on dining at Freddy's Diner. Friday and Saturday nights, Freddy's features their hickory smoked prime rib. Plus, there's everyday favorites like New York steak, smoked beef brisket, Carolina chicken, pressure fried chicken, hand-dipped beer battered salmon or cod, and more. The menu is designed to please everyone in the family. Easy takeout, too. And stick around on Friday nights for karaoke at 9 p.m. Freddy's is a great place to meet friends or make some. Freddy's Diner in Old Town Eagle Point.
Welcome to Dustin Curbs Parking Lot Maintenance, where exceptional parking lot maintenance services are provided to Southern Oregon. From lot sweeping to construction cleanup, pressure washing to snow plowing and de-icing, Dustin Curbs ensures properties remain in top condition year-round. Recognized as the gold medalist of Southern Oregon in 2023, Dustin Curbs is trusted to deliver top quality service. Visit DustinCurb.com to make an appointment and keep your parking lot safe, clean, and inviting. That's DustinCurb.com.
At Grover Electric and Plumbing, service is everything. To back it up, this comment from one of our Grover customers in Vancouver.
Had a water pressure problem with our kitchen faucet. Visiting Grover, they showed us how to replace the small screen regulator that was clogged. The good news is, we didn't have to call or pay for a plumber. Thanks, Grover.
This from a Grants Pass customer.
After 3 days working on my shower with no luck, went to Grover, explaining the problem. Turned out to be no problem at all. Just had the wrong part. Got the right part and was on my way.
From Twin Falls, this comment.
I'm very inexperienced, especially in electrical things. At Grover, they not only had exactly what I needed for the project I was working on, but had the parts and the know-how to show me how to make it work. You just gotta love that Grover service.
If this sounds like the kind of customer service you're looking for, welcome to Grover.
When you shop Grover, your worries are over.
This is Lisa from Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass in Medford. A woman was traveling on I-5 recently and started hearing a noise. She was, of course, worried about hotel and repair costs, but it turned out to be a simple issue and we got her back on the road with no charge, a bottle of water, and some snacks. Well done, Grants Pass. This is exactly what it means to be good stewards. Dave and I are so proud of you. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, but take care of you.
Hi, I'm Steven with Steven Westfall Roofing, Inc., and I'm on KMED.
It's a shade before 9 o'clock. This is KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. I appreciate you being here. Carol's in talent. Carol, you wanted to weigh in or ask a question. I guess you're still getting political mail, and it's concerning you. Go ahead.
Yeah, because my husband passed away in February of 22. And he's gotten two pieces of political mail, mm-hmm. and maybe more. I just got back from being with my mother for a month in North Dakota, and so there's a lot of mail to catch up on. But he's gotten at least two, one from President Trump, and I don't remember where the other was from. I can't place my hands on it now. I've got so much mail around, but I'm trying to get through it all.
So you're concerning you're concerned then, from what I figure, that
is he one of the dead people that's going to vote? Why is his name still on the voter list?
Well, I'll tell you what you could do then. If you were wondering about such a matter, you could go to sos.oregon.gov, which is the Secretary of State's website, and you can see if he is still, you know, considered. Because, yeah, they don't claim the voter rolls. Technically, he should have been taken off. I'm sure what you're dealing with politically is that the Trump campaign, all the other campaigns, they purchase dresses of people, and they don't keep track of necessarily someone who passes away on those. Yeah. But you could also check.
Yeah, you could. Oregon.gov.
Yeah, sos.oregon.gov.
And there. Oregon, the whole thing? Okay.
Yeah, sos.oregon.gov. And you can check your own registration to make sure everything's okay. There's My Vote, Voting in Oregon, how to register, all sorts of information there. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Hey, thank you for asking. Okay. Have an email or two of the day. Email or twos of the day. Or email or three. It just depends on how many I have time for. And that's sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. While you wait, crowns are available. Very, very interesting place. Good people, nice facilities, and it's easy to feel calm. That's always good. It's on the Freeman Way. We're next door to the Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant, CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. A lot of people writing me this morning about the reading. And Bonnie writes me, Bill, in the last 2 years, especially, because I was talking about, are we reading more or less, and is it affecting the kids, et cetera. In the last 2 years, Bill, especially, I've been doing a lot of reading, probably 98% fiction. The nonfiction has been about health, healthy aging and diet, you know, getting off of vegetable and getting off of canola oils, ASAP. Though so little worth watching on television, I read most evenings. At the suggestion of a coworker who used to travel a lot, about a year and a half, I switched to an e-reader, even though I strongly prefer the old-fashioned book. But with the e-reader, I can borrow e-books from the library with ease, and I take multiple books with me. I travel without adding bulk to my carry-on. Happy Friday, Bill. BC in Tualatin. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I'm kind of in that situation there, too. I'll be reading a bit this weekend. Monday, Tuesday, Hugh Hewitt fills in for me. I will catch you this coming Wednesday, all right, live and local. And Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins and the Jukebox are coming up next.
Paul Bunyan starts his day with a six-egg heart attack omelet. Power your day at Diner 62.